I saw heaven opened and a bull up, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He shall dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I shall be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street thereof was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and bore her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb is in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their forehead. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. You see what our future is all about, don't you, folks? So let's don't go around moaning and groaning and complaining and saying, well, it's not all over yet. The best is yet to come. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 2. And as you're finding your place in the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, I should remind you again that as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For all the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And we can rejoice because his word is settled right here in this wonderful book that is inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, and powerful, and precious, and perfect, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Isn't God wonderful? I'm glad God speaks our language, aren't you? I reckon he wonders what kind of language we speak. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 15 and down through verse number 20. And I shall read these verses after we pause in a moment of prayer. And I would ask you to join me as we pray together. Our Father, we are grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his miraculous birth, his sinless life, his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection, his wonderful ascension back to your right hand, for we know he makes intercession for us, even in this hour. So I pray that you'd use the word tonight to bless our hearts. May we never lose sight of what Christmas is all about. May we know how to celebrate it in a way that would bring honor and glory and praise and credit to Jesus Christ alone. For he alone is worthy. For he alone has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us kings and priests unto thee. We say with John, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. So may it be. This is our prayer, and we offer it in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Christmas will be celebrated by many people in many different ways in many parts of the world. When the bells ring out on Christmas Day, some people will celebrate the birth of a great teacher. They think of Jesus only as a teacher whose wisdom influenced thousands of people across the Roman Empire. Some will celebrate the birth of a powerful reformer. They look upon Christ only as a reformer whose reforms indeed changed the Greco-Roman world. Some will celebrate Jesus, the birth of Jesus, sadly enough, as an unfortunate martyr who was the victim of Roman tyranny. Still others will celebrate the birth of Jesus as a prophet in line with Moses, Alexander the Great, and Mohammed. And ladies and gentlemen, without any hesitation or reservation or apology, I would say to you that all of these celebrants are misguided. They are mistaken. They've missed the mark. We as Christians, born-again believers, who know him personally, celebrate the miraculous birth of the only begotten Son of God. Romans 1:4 is Paul's commentary, where he wrote, he is declared to be Did you get that? Declare, that means determined to be, marked out to be, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is truly the only begotten Son of God. The resurrection is the hallmark of His sonship. If Jesus had lived a good life and died a heroic death, He would have been listed among the great men of the world. But wait, Jesus conquered death. And He is a living presence among us tonight. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with us now. He will be with us tomorrow. He will be with us in every tomorrow of our lives. He is not only in our future, He is our future. And He will be with us forever as we will be with Him in the world above. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He's our ruler. He's our reward. He's our righteousness. He's our refuge. He is the rock of our salvation, who breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the captive free. And praise God, whom the Son makes free, is free indeed. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is infinite. He's eternal. He's immortal. He's invincible. He's immutable. He's indestructible. He's immeasurable. He's impeccable. And He's my Savior. And I love Him tonight because He loved me and died on the cross and paid my sin debt that no one else could do. Yes, Christmas is the coming of God in the flesh through the miracle that was transpired in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Matthew puts it this way in his first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, lo, the angel of the Lord came to him, appeared to him in a dream, and said to him, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thank God, Jesus was conceived miraculously in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and Joseph did what the angel said do, and took Mary as his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. John put it this way in his first chapter, verse 14, verse that you are very familiar with, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's very God. He's very man. He's just as much as God as though He had never become man, and just as much man as though He had never been God. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus Christ, your Savior and mine. Emmanuel, God with us, the Rock of Ages, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of mankind, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Star of Jacob, the Saving One, the Sovereign One, the Satisfying One, the Sufficient One, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star. He's the commandant of all commandants. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the commander-in-chief. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. The Encyclopedia Britannica used 20,000 words to describe the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. That's more than they used for the lives of Cicero, Aristotle, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Mohammed, Confucius, and Julius Caesar combined. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. No wonder we sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all." That's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. I got plenty of time. But I'm aware of this. The Constitution guarantees freedom of speech, but it does not guarantee listeners. So stay with me a few moments. I've entitled this message, "The Christian's Celebration of Christmas." The question arises, just how should we celebrate Christmas? I would submit to you, in the first place, we should celebrate Christmas by telling others about Christ. I call your attention to verse 17. The shepherds who came to see Him, who made haste their journey from the shepherd's field into the city of Bethlehem, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. And my friends, we should tell others not only about His miraculous birth, we should tell them about His marvelous ministry. It is the ministry of salvation. We should trumpet the good news around the world, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Would you like to have the Bible in miniature? I've got it. It's only 25 words. And it's written in red. And it's John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Down in that same chapter, the Bible says, "He that believeth is not condemned." That's verse 18. "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." And in verse 36 in that same chapter, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." It's a ministry of justification. Paul wrote it clearly in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I need to remind you that to say that we've been justified means just as if we had never sinned. Can you imagine that? God looks upon us through the blood of His Son Jesus Christ, and He sees us as sinless and spotless and shameless children of the Most High God. What a wonderful Savior. A ministry of preservation. I'm going to quote Jesus again. You know what, folks? I hope that the last words that I say on this earth will be a quotation of Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 10 at verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father who gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." It's a ministry of glorification. 1 John 3 and verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now are we the sons of God. You know, I hear some people pray and they close out their prayer, and Lord, save us all at last. At last may be too late. Spurgeon said, death is the last enemy to be destroyed, so let's just leave it last. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in glory sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace, good tidings to earth. Tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while I whisper, love paid the ransom for me. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Why don't we just tell it again? Tell it again. Salvation story. Repeat o'er and o'er till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever told me before. In the second place, we should celebrate Christmas by praising God for His unspeakable gift. I call your attention to verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, they had heard and seen, as it was told them. I ask you, how can these mortal tongues ever find words adequate to describe the majesty, the magnificence, and the magnitude of the newborn King, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world? No wonder Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that the psalmist wrote in 150 and verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I see a third way we should celebrate Christmas. We should celebrate Christmas by declaring its true meaning. I call your attention again to verses 18 and 19. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is the greatest story ever told. Its greatness is seen in the preparation that was made for it. Thousands of years as far as the human ancestry of Christ is concerned, bringing Him in the world from Genesis 3:15 that we dealt with this morning. It's great because of the people who are involved in it. But my friend, the number one reason that it's great is because of the person whose birth we celebrate. You see, Christmas is more than tin and tinsel. Christmas is more than giving and getting. Christmas is more than lights and laughter. Christmas is more than chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Christmas is more than sleigh bells in the snow. Christmas is more than children playing in the street. Christmas is more than Rudolph and St. Nick. Christmas is more than jingle bells and Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Christmas is Christ, who is and was and forever shall be, world without end, from everlasting to everlasting. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He's the great I Am. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the resurrection and the life. Let's tell the whole world that Christ, the Savior, is born. Let's tell every member of Adam's fallen, wretched, ruined, rebellious race that Jesus is the precious, perfect, pure, powerful, pontifical Son of God, who alone is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not Christ or Muhammad. It is not Christ or Confucius. It is not Christ or the Buddha. It is not Christ or Zoroaster. It is Christ and Christ alone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is one God, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Could I ask you tonight, my friend, who else but Jesus Christ could say, I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst? Who else but Jesus Christ can say, I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life? Who else but Jesus Christ could say, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved? Who else but Jesus Christ could say, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep? Who else but Jesus Christ could say, I am the true vine, ye are the branches? Who else but Jesus Christ could say, I am the resurrection and the life? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Who else but Jesus Christ could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me? Ladies and gentlemen, let's not leave Jesus in the cradle. Let's follow Him over the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, because we must understand that Jesus Christ came not only to be cuddled in a cradle, He came to be crucified on a cross. I give you His word, here I go, quoting Jesus again. In John 12:27, Jesus said, For this cause came I unto this hour. I continue to quote Jesus. I love to quote Jesus. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. And when I quote Him, I never have to worry about being misquoted. I could quote Socrates or Plato or Aristotle, or one of the great philosophers, but I love to quote Jesus. And He said in John 10:17-18, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And thank God He took it again. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose! He arose! Hallelujah! Christ arose. They borrowed a bed to lay His head when Christ the Lord came down. They borrowed the ass and the mountain pass for Him to ride to town. But the crown He wore and the cross He bore were His own. He borrowed the bread when the crowds He fed on the grassy mountainside. He borrowed the dish of broken fish with which He satisfied. But the crown He wore and the cross He bore were His own. He borrowed a ship in which to sit to teach the multitude. They borrowed a nest for Him to rest. He had never a home so rude. But the crown He wore and the cross He bore were His own. He borrowed a room on the way to the tomb, the Passover lamb to eat. They borrowed a cave for him, a grave. They borrowed the winding sheet. But the crown he wore and the cross he wore were his own. The thorns on his head were worn in my stead. For me the Savior died. For guilt of my sin the nails drove in when him they crucified. And though the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own, they were really, rightly mine. Would you stand with me, please, for our prayer? The altar's open. The invitation.